And he got across the room staring at her. She was sitting down reading a book. He said, "Honey, what's for supper?" "Nothing." Man, like 30 feet away. He got about 20 feet away. "Honey, what's for supper?" "Nothing." He got 10 feet. "Honey, what's for..." "Nothing." Finally, 5 feet. She's like, "Touch her." He said, "Honey, what's for supper?" She said, "For the last time, it's chicken." Ooh, some people are getting this liberal art. It's so often we take our own issues and we blame others for them. It's so true. I've never done it. But some people have. You know. See elbows being tossed. Man, it's a rough crowd tonight. Go ahead and turn to Jonah, chapter number 1. Jonah, chapter number 1. In all seriousness, it's so true that we oftentimes blame others for our own actions and our own issues of life. Jonah, chapter number 1. We're going to go ahead and stand and read verse 1, just a few verses, and we'll start into tonight's sermon. Jonah, chapter number 1. "Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." That literally gives a picture of it rising and daring God to strike it down. It literally gives the arrogancy involved in the blatant sinfulness of Nineveh and how the whole city was like one big rising force daring God to strike it down. "Go and cry against that great city." In verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. But the Lord..." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy in our lives. They're new every morning. Lord, help us to put aside the worries of the week, Lord, and focus in on tonight, in this moment with you. God, help us to take to heart the words you've written for our sake and our examples. Bless it, we ask the Lord in your name. Amen. Be seated. We know the story. There's nothing that's going to be great and new. There's no depth that you haven't learned from this story. But the simple truth of the matter is, this is one of the most accurate stories in the modern day Christian's life. This is one of the most applicable stories in the modern day Christian's life. You see, we're not so much different than Jonah. No, we're not going to get swallowed by a catfish. No, or a fish in general. Catfish are my favorite because they eat anything. No, we're not going to be running down and paying money to hop on a ship to go as far away from where God calls us physically. But it's so often a child of God finds himself in the Jonah spiral, where they're doing things they normally wouldn't because they're running from what they don't want to do. Tonight's title is simply put, "The Call Still Remains." The call still remains. The subtitle would be, "The man who didn't want to go where he's told to do, went somewhere else where he shouldn't have gone, wound up being where he didn't want to be, and ended up going where he should have gone in the first place." But I prefer the title, "The Call Still Remains." It's up to you, whatever you want to write down. But the fact of the matter is, Jonah is the example of the modern day Christian's life. I would say the millennial Christian, but to be honest, it's seeped into every generation of Christian for the last couple of years, the last couple of decades. Because the call that Jonah got still remained throughout his runnings, throughout his time in the fish, throughout his time praying and trying to get back to God his way and finally giving up and doing it God's way. The call never changed. From the beginning of the book of Jonah to the very end, Jonah was given the same call, the same mission. It never changed regardless of what he did. So I want to talk to you tonight very briefly about the call on our lives. When God created man, when he breathed life into Adam, he put a call on the entirety of mankind. And that call and that mission was simple. Walk with me. That call was simple. Worship me. That call was simplistic. Be where I am. He created man for fellowship with himself. He created man to not give him glory and praise as the Greek gods craved and needed. God didn't need man's love, didn't need man's praise. No, he chose to make man, and he chose to make the earth and give it to man because he loved us and loves us. And even when Adam and Eve sinned and that cascaded the entirety of mankind from that point forward into a life separated from God, God still made a way to show man his love. God still made a way to show man, I love you. And the call didn't change. Worship me. Walk with me. Man's position did. Oh, throughout the centuries, men have gotten into sin upon sin. They've gotten into just horrible crimes against God. And I don't have to go into it. You know it. You see it. You have this mental list of sins that you know hurt God. Sins that we know cause God pain, grieve him. To see his love, his creation, turning his back on him, telling him how much they hate him when he made them because he loves them. He loves us. That's what we get into in the first part of Jonah. This story isn't about Jonah. It's not about the fish. The story is about God. The story is about his love for the people of Nineveh. Oh, Jonah's a part of it. He's the head of the book. He's the main antagonist, or whatever you want to call it. But the fact of the matter is, this story is about God and his love for Nineveh. His love for the people who are rising up against him. I don't know if you've ever been attacked by a small insect. But I was mowing, probably 10 years ago. Probably 16 at the time. I was mowing a yard in the middle of nowhere. It was out there past, at that point, the loop had ended right there, right past Fairgrounds Road. So I was out there mowing, and I ran across a big red ant hill. They're really more pits than hills. They dig into the ground, and they just make all kinds of mess. And I disturbed their business, and they were mad at me. And one began chasing me. And I was like, you know, how far is this guy going to chase me? I started backing up, and he was like, nah, I still see you. He's coming after me. I started backing up. He said, nah, I'm going to get you. I kept backing up. He followed me a good 20 feet. Then I was like, you know what? Let's stop this once and for all. I wasn't threatened by the ant. I wasn't running. And I have that same mental picture when I see the words, for their wickedness is come up before me. See, Nineveh was such a wicked, insulting, sinful city to God that its own wicked behavior, its own mentality had consumed it to where it was staring God in the face saying, you won't destroy us. You won't stop us. We will do what we want, when we want, with and where we want, and you will not stop us. Their wickedness was so insulting to God that it literally hurt him. Why? Because he loved Nineveh. He loved the people of Nineveh so much so that he sent his son to die for them. Not yet, chronologically, but he already determined, my son's going to go die for their sin. Christ already committed to sacrificing for Nineveh. And it is out of God's love that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. It was because of God's love that Jonah had a call placed upon his life. The story's not about Jonah. It's about God and his love for Nineveh. You see, the call that God gave Jonah was simplistic. I have a place that needs you. Go. I have empowered you. I have prepared you. I will give you everything you need, but you need to go cry against Nineveh because their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah, we know this is how it turns. He decided, nope, I'm going that way. You said this way, I'm going that way. So much so that he ran. I love how it says, he rose up to flee. There was some urgency. I don't know how long it took before God said go and he said nope. But there was enough urgency to where he was out of his mind, out of his shoes, running down, getting the first ship he saw to the farthest city he could with the thought that he could outrun God. It's insane. I love playing the game Red Rover. It's rarely played because of injuries and people, why? I love the game Red Rover because inevitably you get two really big kids side by side. And they've locked arms and no one's getting through there. But there's some little squirt who's like, Johnny, come on. He's like, yeah. And he runs and just does a full 360 and bam, hits the ground staring up like, why did that not work? Well, that's physics for you, Johnny. You'll learn. The fact is, so often we see that mentality in Christians where they think that even though it's an impossibility, they're going to outrun God. They're going to outdo him. Just like little Johnny, or whoever his name is going to be, decided, you know what? I'm a 110-pound kid. Those kids are post-high school. One's a lineman, one's a halfback. I got this. No, doesn't mathematically work out. We turn and we say to God, I cannot run you. Watch me. I will outrun you and your call on my life, Lord. But then we skip through here, and we're just going to roll through this real quick. We skip down where we see Jonah hopping on a ship. We see Jonah falling asleep. Oh, I made it. I'm free. God's call is done. No. God stirred up the winds. Stirred up the sea and had that ship being tossed to and fro, as verse 4 says, like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid. The men on the ship were afraid. They turned to everyone saying, pray to your gods, pray to whoever did this. Fess up. We will die if someone doesn't get this right with their little g god or whoever you worship. And it was enough to where Jonah makes another choice. A unique one that you don't see in most people's lives. But Jonah was so opposed to answering the call of God that he agreed to assisted suicide. Throw me in there. You're going to die. I know. But at least I won't have to go to Nineveh. Man. So they grab him. And Jonah's like, I escaped the call. I don't know how long it took for the fish to grab him. But man, it's one of the reels I want to watch. I don't enjoy movies about sharks. I married into it. She enjoys all the sharks, and she knows what they're called and how big they are. I'm good. Fish should be about that big. If they're bigger than that, they belong on my plate. That's fine. But I'm not going to swim with them. We're going to be at the ocean this coming July. We're going to Maryland. And I'll get about 10 feet in, and I'm done. I've been in the ocean. Check mark. I'm not going further. Nope. If you go on a cruise, I'm in the very middle of the ship with a map to the exits. Not something I enjoy, open water, deep things that swim around. But I want to see Jonah's face. He's tossed in there. And a fish large enough to swallow him goes, "That's me." Because God sent that fish. Fish is just waiting for Jonah. He's like, "All right, there's a big storm right here. That's the boat. They'll toss him over any time." Jonah, plop, soup. I would love to see Jonah's face. Selfishly, of course, but still. A fish swallows him up. Jonah didn't escape the call. Now he's in the belly of a fish. All kinds of nastiness there. All kinds of acids eating him up. All kinds of things just making life miserable. And get this. I don't know how long it was between 3 days and 3 nights before he was like, "You know what? Maybe Nineveh isn't that bad." But at some point he decided Nineveh can't be worse than this. I don't know what point it was, but it says in chapter 2, you look in verse 17 in chapter 1, it said, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That's what it took for him to say, "Then Jonah prayed." And his God out of the fish's belly, he said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." That's a really fancy way of saying, "I messed up." "Reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly, and I cried, and thou hearest my voice." And he eventually said, "I'll go. Just let me out of here." So God did. Another scene I'd like to see. So great to watch. And you know what? Jonah goes. He goes, acid covered, gnarly looking. And he cries to Nineveh, and there's a great repentance. And the ending of Jonah's time in the book saddens me, much like Gideon's does. He did this great thing, finally. And he plummets down, being mad that God spared them. The story is not about Jonah. The story is about God. He gets mad that God didn't destroy Nineveh. See, Jonah had a heart problem. He wanted what he wanted, and he wanted his way. And it's really hard to get what you want and to want what you want when you have a call upon your life. The fact of the matter is, the reason this is most applicable to modern day Christians is because we all have a call on our life. From the first breath of the renewed life of a Christian, from the first breath we breathe in, saved, sanctified, going to heaven, we get a spiritual indwelling inside of us and a reminder that the call upon our lives is God loves us and wants to fellowship with us. But there's an added bonus to being a Christian. There's an added bonus being a child of God in this day and age. We get to be a part of His plan for salvation among nations, among peoples, into the uttermost parts of the earth. We get to be witnesses of Him. We get to be couriers of His love, per se. We don't do the saving, we do the sharing. We get the call to go to preach to all nations. We get the call to be a witness of what God has done in our lives. But like Jonah, we don't like that call. Jonah didn't like the call because he didn't like the people. Jonah had a problem against Nineveh. He believed Nineveh should be destroyed. Jonah believed that even though his heavenly Father loved these people, he was okay with them being wiped off the face of the earth. See, he didn't care about God's call. He cared about himself and what he wanted. He cared about his own life, his own freedom. He saw the call of God in his life as a requirement, as a duty, as something that bogs him down from being himself. He saw the call of God on his life as a burden that would take away from his happiness. And so often, we find Christians who are not answering the call of God in their life because they want it their way in life versus God's way. God has a unique plan for each and every one of us. We can't deny that from His Word. He has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. It's not the same. We've heard the sermons. We've heard the stories. We've heard the illustrations, the examples. We know that we are fearfully, wonderfully, and uniquely made for the purpose of glorifying God. We know that the church itself is made up of different parts and different units designed to be brought together for one glorious purpose. So often, pieces are missing because they believe their story is about them and not about God. So often, we find Christians upset at where they're at. We find Christians who are in trials as like as like the belly of a fish, where it just seems the agony and the pain is going on and on and on, and they can't figure out why they can't be happy. The truth of the matter is, they're not doing what they were designed to do, and that's to answer the call. Jonah proved that the call doesn't go away. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. There's no way to avoid the call. It still remains. Even upon your disobedience, Jonah's decision to run, the call didn't change. His decision to be tossed over, the call didn't change. His decision to wait 3 days and three nights in a pit of disgustingness, the call didn't change. And his decision to sit there and hope for Nineveh's destruction, the call never changed. Go cry against Nineveh. He obeyed it rebelliously. The call upon our lives is to love God and love people. The call upon our lives is both general and specific. God's just that loving. The general call is go, be a witness, be an example of a believer. The specific call in our lives gets to be like missions, preaching, teaching a Sunday school class, singing in the choir, helping clean the church, soul winning, just talking to folks, loving on people. We have both general and specific calls in our life, and they're about God and His glory and His kingdom. They're not about us. So what do? We run. We hide. We backslide. We disqualify ourselves. Oh, I can't preach. It says here, husband of one wife. So I can't be a preacher if I get divorced two or three times. That's expensive. That is harmful to your body and your mental state. Well, if I get really deep into sin, the call is going to go away. No. You're just too far to hear it. If I ignore God, He'll stop calling. You're just too far away from God to hear it. You're just too hardened to let it affect you. Well, this is about my happiness. There's a lot of really miserable people in the pursuit of happiness. There's a lot of miserable, lonely people trying to find happiness in this world. And it's because they're running from the call in their life. Well, that's not true. I would wager that this is 100% true, and I would win. And I would tell you that if you're not happy and enjoying where you're at, you're probably in the wrong spot. If you're not enjoying, there's something wrong with you and God's connection. Because it's not like He stopped calling. It's not like He stopped supplying. It's not like He stopped loving. So often we find ourselves running from His plan for our lives. Why? I have the desire to do this. Well, that's a scary thing. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do something else. Try to pacify God. God, I know you've called me to preach, but will you take sitting in the pew every Sunday and Wednesday? That's my best offer, God. I was called to 4 years of Bible college. I knew it. God laid it upon my life when I was 18 years old, youth. Technically, he laid it upon my life when I was 13. I just ignored it for a couple of years, like five. But finally, he said, okay, here's your last chance. Youth major Heartland. I was, you know what? Tired of running. I'll go for 1 year. Again, my counter offer. I get there to registration. I go all through it. And every station I get to, God's saying, 4 years. 1 year. What are you taking? 1 year. I'm taking 1 year. All 12 stations. Station 12. Roger House. Mr. Carr? You're 1 year? I was like, funny thing. Could hear God in my brain. He said, last chance. God will let you run. He's still going to chase you. He said, last chance. I said, I'm doing a 4-year major. He's like, you have the wrong paperwork. And I was like, I know. When all the, he escorted me personally all the way back through. And it was, he remembered my name all 4 years. Let's just say that. He knew who I was. And we built a good friendship over the years. But I knew I had a choice. Because God very clearly in my mind said, 4 or 5, your choice. And I was like, let's do 4, okay? You got me there. I can't complain. I met some really great people. Met that one. I met some really great people in my life in my time at Heartland. I would not be back at my home church if I hadn't gone to a Bible college for 4 years that challenged me to do hard things for God and to trust Him for the outcome. I would not be back in Midland, Texas if God hadn't called me and I submitted. I would not be where I am today if I continue to run from God. And that's not me trying to say, look at me. No, I'm saying that is why I'm here. Not because I'm special, not because I'm super, not because I'm just a good old, no, I am here because I said yes, Lord. And I trusted Him all the way through. I ran for about 5 years in my teens, and it was rough. And it hurt, and there are scars. I've seen the Jonah in my life. I don't want any of that. I don't want to see that again. I don't know what stage of Christianity you're at right now. But every now and then we get a little bit of Jonah inside of us. And we run from God. And we say, no, 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 no. We agreed on these terms. No, 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 Lord, Lord, Lord. You promised. No, He called you to something. The truth of the matter is, no matter how much we run from God, the call still remains. There's simply two truths tonight. Number one, God has called you. Number two, that call still remains. Nothing big, no gigantic truth drop, but just a reminder that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are called to a specific part. You're not at Southwest by accident. You're not in Midland by accident. We're not going through what we're going through by some freak event. God has us here. God has you here for a purpose and a plan for the growth and the betterment of this church. We have the easy part. Yes, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Absolutely. Whatever you want. Imagine how different the story would have gone if the Lord told Jonah, go, and he said, on it. Imagine how different his life would be. There are churches all across America, pastorless. There are youth groups all across America, youth pastorless. There are positions in churches not filled. There are song leaders who aren't where they're supposed to be. There are Sunday school classes who are hurting, who are lacking. There are doors not being knocked. There are gospel tracts not being handed out. And it's not because God doesn't love us. It's because people are not answering the call. It's not because of anything more convoluted or complex than that. Well, there's a really good reason. There's no good reason in this entire wide earth why we're not answering God's call in our life. There's not a good reason. The call still remains. Throughout Jonah's life, the call remained. Regardless of where he was positionally, mentally, or spiritually, the call remained. And there are churches who had a pastor called to their doorsteps who never answered and never submitted, and they are waiting and they are hungry for the truth. But someone a long or a short time ago said, I don't want what God wants. I want what I want. You look at pastors, and there are some that have this blessing, but I honestly believe it's such a slim few. But you see pastors who have a different church every year. I don't think that's right. You see men of God, quote unquote, who are going through pain and hardship, and some are called to that. Paul was called to hardship. But some, it's because they're not doing what God has called them to do, and they're substituting and they're bartering with God, and they're saying, I will go anywhere but where you want me to go. We're going to face this in our time here with the church. Already we've heard people say, I won't go to West Texas. We don't bite much. I get it. I didn't want to come to West Texas, but God said go, and I've had enough beatings where I was like, I'm not going to run. I've tried that. It wasn't very nice. The call remains. Regardless of what you're currently doing, the call remains. And if you don't answer it, no one else will. It's your call. It's specific to you. What are you doing with the call you've been given? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. God, thank you for your mercy. Lord, help us to answer the call upon our lives, God, and help us to submit ourselves unto you. Lord, I thank you for Pastor, Lord, bring him back to a safe